Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for July 9th, 2007, episode 34.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby. Today we welcome a special guest live over Skype. We have Zach Peachy. He's a manufacturing systems specialist, graduated from Purdue University a few years back with a bachelor's in information systems. He's been in the field for 6+ years, and I've known him for quite a while now, so I'm glad to have him on here with us. He is coming to us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
On the radar this week, we have quite a bit of news, so we're going to jump right into it. On the gaming front, apparently the Microsoft Corporation has finally decided to own up to all the Red Rings of Death on the Xbox 360 console. They've said they're going to shell out $1 billion to extend the warranty for the 360 console to 3 years.
So they just dug some change out of the couches there, Microsoft.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think this is really going to hurt them. But I think it's good that they finally owned up to it. Yeah. They just decided to man up and say, all right, look, we acknowledge the problem, we will fix it, and we know what's going on. So they're going to, they told all the shareholders that we're going to lose $1 billion, but we can't afford not to address this. So that's good news for all 360 owners out there. This coming also right on the heels of the Sony PS3 price cut announcement.
Don't get one.
Yeah.
Still not worth it.
It's still not worth it. So, yeah, I'm a 360 fanboy, so I cannot advocate PS3s. But, yeah, so they're going to come down $100 on theirs. So I think it's funny that in the past year we've had the 360, their main problem was reliability. So now that's being addressed. PS3's main problem was the high price, and now that's being addressed. Mm-hmm. And Wii's main problem was there wasn't enough of them, and they said they're going to address it, but who knows if they actually
are. Yeah, I don't think they've done much with that yet. Well, and you know, the funny thing is, like, even last week, Sony was like, no, we're not going to drop the price. Please buy one.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So
another news story. We've got Google acquired another company, and this one is, I think, going to be exciting for people in enterprise. They acquired a company called Postini. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but either way, they are big in the corporate spam filtering and security service, but they also have a pretty active instant messaging and compliance area. The reason this is good is because Google's spam filtering has only accounted to a junk email box, which is not really good enough for corporate users. And if you are using the Google for your domain service, then you're kind of just stuck with their filtering. So this, I think, will help push Google into the enterprise market a little better and maybe make it a little more viable solution for larger businesses who need some good heavy spam filtering.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And then we've got another story from Zach. Is that right?
That's right. Well, it looks that Windows Vista is going to be finally coming out with a service pack.
Wow.
So that means
nice. Not
only is Vista going to be worse, it's going to be more full of holes and falling and breaking apart.
Right.
Now, I have used Vista here at work, and none of our apps work on it, so they do need to fix it.
Yeah.
And it looks like they will plan on this next Monday, the 16th, to actually roll it out, and they're calling it a beta, which means, you know, try it at your own risk.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to do.
Right.
And I probably won't go with this until another year once it's fully out, but when it's fully tested, it should come out sometime in November.
Yeah, is, I think, critical for businesses because a lot of people wait till after the first service pack to even think about running it in a business environment. So that's good to see that they're going to at least have the beta service pack out soon. I wonder, they should be seeing the full release soon, right?
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, I have to get all my hardware up to date first.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a beta for a service pack before?
I have never. Well, I guess, yes, there would be. But
I don't know. That's just odd.
You just wouldn't use it.
Oh, man. Okay. next story. So New York City is planning a new, quote-unquote, surveillance veil for their downtown area.
Also known as Big Brother Eye in the Sky.
Yes, yes. They are watching you and me, especially me. So they're going to have a new series of cameras that check all vehicle license plates within a certain area, and it's going to be able to zoom into people's faces and all that kind of stuff. So,
Didn't Google get in trouble for that?
Google got into some controversy because they had...
Because you could see someone's cat in the window.
Yeah. Well, there was the one guy that caught coming out of the strip club, too.
Yeah. But, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. But
so, what do you guys think about this? I mean, is this something good that we want? It'll create more jobs for us?
I don't really want it.
Yeah, I don't really care for it.
You know, because I watched The Peacemaker with George Clooney, and they caught the one guy just with the police and stuff.
Right.
So we don't really need it.
That's right.
We just need George Clooney in New York City.
Just clone George Clooney, and the world would be a better place.
Right. Wait, so this is 3,000 cameras.
That's a lot.
In a small downtown area. So
wow. Has anyone seen The Truman Show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
That's what it sounded like to me.
It's going to become kind of crazy. And I'm not a huge fan of the whole Big Brother thing, but I guess if New York feels that they need this sort of protection from bombers or terrorists or whatever, then I guess they just have to do what they have to do.
Yeah. Well, they've had this kind of stuff in Britain for a while, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of modeled over what they have in the UK. So, and I guess they've had such stellar success with it. Now we're going to spend the money and do the same thing. So coming soon to your town.
All in the name of safety.
Right. Yeah, we're afraid here. We need maximum safety.
That's
everyone.
Right. Well, the next big story we have is another acquisition. Apparently, I'm Mr. Acquisition this week. Intel announced that Intel's capital is taking 218.5 million stake in VMware, basically buying out most of VMware, making them a pretty big stake in the company. This is big because everybody knows virtualization is huge, and actually we're going to be talking about that up in the main story. But either way, to see a company like Intel coming in, swooping up VMware now that it's starting to get hot, really shows that Intel's focus is going to be on this in the future, and I think we'll see maybe some more of their chips focusing on speeding up virtualization. They've done that a little bit recently, but we'll see, I think, a lot more of that now that they've got a stake in the company. I couldn't find exactly if this means they're a majority holder or if this is just a small percentage. I think that might be in the story, but I didn't read it close enough. So, either way,
that's 2.5%.
Cool. Okay, so not a huge share, but still, that's a
very exciting.
That's very cool, and we will look forward to see if anything comes out of that. Maybe they'll work a little closer with VMware and get some of that stuff going faster.
Yep. Okay, next up, this week is the debut of the new scale-down E3, which, I don't know, kind of a sad week for some, but, you know, we're so hungry for game news at this point, we'll settle for anything, even the small package. So this is Los Angeles, and it's the new version of E3, which is supposedly, you know, no booth babes, no 60,000, you know, people hordes in the convention center there. It's kind of a more tame, more media-focused thing, where they're doing focused sort of product launches and announcements, kind of little bite-sized digestible packages of news, just so the media can shovel it back out to us who are hungrily waiting like goldfish in a pond. They also, it's a lot smaller in terms of the amount of people that are presenting there in the booth. It's only going to be about 30 of the biggest game makers are going to have presentations there. So... some say this is a good thing because, you know, before we always had the E3 summer quote-unquote deadline, and everybody would rush to try to have something ready to show at E3, and it just became this... They feel like it was sort of a hurtful thing for the game community. I don't know if I agree with that, but, you know, at least we had something to go on. Now it's... We sort of just have news and whatever they choose to show us, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have to say I won't, you know, as much as... As a guy, I shouldn't be saying this. I won't miss the booth babe because it just got so much attention. It was like, where's the games, you know?
Right.
And it just lost focus. I mean, I really feel like last year was just...
Well, the traditional media, you know, they hate the internet. They hate video games. So anything negative to let them focus on is probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, so. anyway, and well,
this brings it back, I think, a little bit to its original glory.
And then next week we'll have probably a mini wrap up of the top announcements from this week. It starts on Wednesday, so you know nothing really yet. So
I'm crossing my fingers for some really good Halo 3 news.
We'll see what happens.
I've been let down recently, so I'm really hoping for something good.
All right, cool.
I don't know about you, but they give me the creeps.
This week we wanted to take a brief look at the hot topic in enterprise and actually in the home now too, virtualization, which is a becoming more and more an important piece of enterprise server management and even use of things like Parallels at home on the Mac desktop has really opened up doors for a lot of people to make their programs work on whatever machine they're on and have redundant operating systems and that kind of thing. And we have our special guest this week, Zach Peachy, who has actually done some work with this. So we wanted to bring him in and kind of tap into his knowledge of the subject. So Zach, why don't you give us a brief overview of why somebody would want to use virtualization and what it is?
Sure thing. For us, we have quite a few servers here at work that we have had a lot of problems with, mainly you have a lot of different software that's being built both in-house and stuff that you buy off the shelf, and when you have a lot of that software working on the same server, it tends to bog that server down. And then in other areas, you have servers that don't have anything running on them. So what virtualization allows you to do is it's completely hardware independent. It is a separate layer, so you can have like five or six servers all on one machine, and this allows you to take all of your software and move it across different platforms. Nice. And cut down on a lot of the major problems that you normally have with just one machine.
So the idea basically is you can install this base layer, which is what package did you guys use?
We're actually using Microsoft Virtual Server.
Okay,
and which then, is free.
Okay, and then it's free. Nice, that's even better. But I guess that makes you buy more Microsoft stuff. So that's
yes,
why they do it.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
And then the other big one out there is from VMware, right?
Yes, and that's about $6,000 per license.
Ouch.
And they do, and it's per CPU also.
Wow, wow, that's not so cheap.
Not cheap.
So what's the? Did you guys do a comparison between the two before you did it, or was it just Microsoft is free, so you went ahead and just used that?
I actually got the privilege of running both VMware and Microsoft Virtual Server.
Nice.
And from what I can tell, VMware is much more stable,
okay. And
it takes a little bit longer to set up, but it's just so nice. Like, it's kind of got that, it's not really Linux-based per se, but it's got Linux commands and all that stuff, but they won't say, you know, it's Linux-based, but it's just got that reliability to it that the Microsoft Virtual Server doesn't.
Hmm. Okay. So what are some of the other big advantages, I guess? I've heard that you can do things like have it dynamically move between servers with VMware. Does Microsoft have that option?
Microsoft does not have that option.
Okay.
VMware is real-time. If it finds that one server has gone down, it will dynamically move it all the way to a new server. So it's very reliable. It does it all on its own. And if you have resources that are being bogged down on one server, it will also look at another server and push it to something that's not being as utilized. So it's just a lot nicer for the IT department not have to deal with mm-hmm. that. Whereas
so,
virtual server, what?
Go ahead.
With Microsoft Virtual Server, you actually physically have to go to the machine, take that file, move it to your other server, which you know takes time, and you're not always there if your server goes down. So it's got a little bit of a disadvantage to it.
Okay, but it's free. So
yes.
if you aren't part of a large budget IT company, then it's at least gives you the option of going to virtualization, which sounds like is really a good way to go. So what would you say then, you know, we've gotten a brief overview now of kind of what it is and what it's used for. What would you say some of the disadvantages are, if there are any, of using a virtualization package?
I found with both VMware and Virtual Server, Microsoft, that they do tend to be slow at times. So it's really tricky just tuning the amount of memory that you put in it or CPU usage. because with each one of these, you can say, I want this virtual machine only to use 25% of the CPU okay. of the machine. So you can spread it out and, you know, just give certain sections and things like that to it. But it's all kind of that tweaking thing, so it takes a while.
So so I guess you have the overhead of the virtualization on there,
yeah. yep.
Which I've seen on Parallels, which is obviously not much in comparison to what you're doing, but I kind of understand what you're talking about there. Do you think there's ever the case, or maybe you guys are doing this, where you would maybe want to run, you know, three or four systems on one server? Is that an option with virtualization?
Oh, absolutely. On our one machine, we have three different virtual machines all running Server 2003 standard. And what that allows us to do is we're in the process of going through a big software integration thing and upgrading all our systems. So I'm actually running Virtual PC and Microsoft Virtual Server, and I'm coding and upgrading all my software on this virtual machine in a test environment. So we don't have to go out and buy a new server and nice. Have all these hot machines. You just do it all virtually.
That's very cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like it'd be a perfect fit. Say, for example, now this wouldn't work for the Microsoft product, obviously, but well, like with VMware, if you have I know it is, you know, cross-platform. So if you had, say, an established Red Hat server and you wanted to use, say, Symantec for your backups, mm-hmm. you could install mm-hmm. VMware. And run it all on the same server instead of having to go out to buy a brand new server to set it up on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, so you have the overhead. Are there any other disadvantages to using virtualization that you can think of?
Not really. Like, even though it's a fairly new kind of, like, it's just really becoming pretty big in the industry, mm-hmm. it already has saved us so much time and resources. It's just such a cost saver that, you know, I wouldn't see why you wouldn't go with it.
Right.
It just depends on how much time you have to put into it, really.
What do you think is easier? Do you think it's easier to bring in virtualization and migrate existing servers to it, or build them up from scratch after virtualization is running?
That's something we're really working with right now, because we recently had a server that crashed on us that wasn't virtualized. So. We were able to get a virtual server up and running in about a couple of hours. Uh-huh. But now that that's there, if that server goes down again, we have it actually, with VMware, we have a storage area network that it works in tandem with. So every night we have a full backup of our operating system plus live snapshots and everything. So if that server goes down, we can instantly get it back up and running within, like, you know, 10 minutes uh-huh. or less.
So is it a lot easier, I guess, then to take a snapshot of your servers if they're virtualized? Because, like, for example, normally if you wanted to take a snapshot, you'd either have to have a product installed, or generally you would take it down, boot it up with Ghost or some other product, take an image, and then finally get it booted back up. Whereas with this, can you just take a snapshot as it's running?
Yeah, you can.
That is huge, actually. I mean, that's really a big deal for backups and being able to have hot things.
As far as I know, that only works with VMware and the people we use as left-hand networks, but they work together with that. And so that's one of the features they say, you know, you can do live snapshots, make a copy of it, and, you know, make a whole new server right on the fly.
So have you gotten the feeling that the Microsoft product, is this kind of just their first, they're dabbling in it, and eventually they're going to roll out a paid version? Or do you have a feel for that?
Oh, it's very much like Microsoft. They see other people getting into it, like, we got to get into this now, so it's kind of, you know, throw it out there, see how it works.
Okay.
But they're definitely getting better and just improving a lot of things.
How often do you see updates coming out for it?
Fairly often. Like, I just saw one yesterday. I was like, woohoo, time to upgrade again. Okay. So.
How long has the Microsoft product been on the market?
I would say only about a year and a half to 2 years, I think. Maybe a little bit longer, like 2005. That I've seen it, but, you know, it's really within the last year that they've really kind of been pushing it and saying, you know, you really should do this.
So, on Microsoft Virtual Server, is there like a console utility, or like how do you get a status on everything that's running? Does it help you keep track of all that?
With both VMware and Microsoft, they have their web-based interface that you do, so it's all. Of course, with Microsoft, it only works through Internet Explorer.
Oh, man.
Which is just terrible. But, yeah.
So you have a web interface that goes into the server that's running this virtualization product?
Not that I know of. Not with this. All we've used is just the web-based little tool they give us.
Okay, so you just log into that from, like, any station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, and we've got, you know, all our other, like, virtual things, so we can go in there, and all three of us can be working on the server at the same time.
Wow,
and,
cool.
You know, checking the status, so...
Does it warn? Does it warn you if it had to fail over? Does it give you a log or an email or?
Oh yeah, it gives you everything that's going on. Like this CPU went down to you know this much, and it's always giving you a full log of whatever you want.
Very cool.
Let you know.
So you're running how many? Did you say three on one box?
Yes.
And what are the specs of that machine? Just to give our listeners an idea of what it takes to run that kind of thing.
Well, this one is actually a Pentium 3. And it's got, it's only got three hard drives that are about 80 gigs.
Okay.
I think it's just on a RAID 1.
Wow. But,
so it's, you know, it's not a very powerful machine, but it runs great.
Nice.
Like just with the virtualization, just it just seems to work with the hardware really well.
How much RAM do you have on that thing?
That has about 4 gigs.
Okay.
So
probably so, RAM you know, is the big... critical factor
yeah,
there.
Absolutely. Yeah. You wow. need to have a good amount of RAM. That's where a lot of the tweaking comes in.
That's cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if I had a Red Hat server, I'm going to have VMware if I want to play ball with it. So virtual server really just helps you if you have Windows servers, really.
Not necessarily.
I guess maybe it might work with some Novell in the future.
Oh, right, maybe.
Ooh,
yeah, with the new deal with Novell. So the Microsoft product, can you load Linux into that, or what? How does that work? Is it only Windows that you can use it with?
I think you can do other operating systems, but I'm not sure on that because we've only done just the Windows because that's all we have
you're
here.
A Windows environment, so that makes sense. And so let me back up a little bit then. When you are setting up a virtual server, is this similar to installing like an operating system? Do you have to have it kind of a bare system and you install a virtual server and then after that's installed, you know, you install your OS? Or kind of walk us through the install process of setting up one of these.
Yeah, well, basically all you have to do is just you log into your main little console and you say, I want to add a new virtual machine. And then you set the amount of disk space that you want available for that. What NIC it's going to use, how much RAM you want to give it, you know, all your little specs.
Nice.
And then it looks exactly like you would load any other machine. You put your CD in the CD drive.
Okay.
It says boot from CD, and it's all virtual. It's just a little, it's just like any other machine that you would set up. So that's what makes it really nice. There's no learning curve at all.
That is nice. Is the virtual server, is that, do you install that on top of like Windows Server 2003, or is it its own separate install?
With this one, you actually have to have a default base server running.
That makes sense.
VMware, it actually has its own like base to it, so it's like Linux based.
Gotcha.
And it just runs off of that.
So two different ways to go to it, and probably because Microsoft is trying to get into the game, that made more sense for them to just tack it on to Windows Server.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And another really good thing about it is once you have that base one set up, all you have to do is copy that file. Rename it, bring it up for the second one, you're set to go. So, like, you know, a couple minutes, you have three servers.
That is nice.
All ready to go.
That is very nice. Very, very cool. So, kind of give us now that we've, you know, talked about this for a little bit, what would you say are, like, maybe the top two or three reasons to move to virtualization in your mind?
Number one would definitely have to be just the ease of use, getting more power out of your operating systems and not being tied down to one machine. That's number one. It's just not being tied down.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the one we're running on is the Pentium 3.
Right.
And so if we were stuck to that server, it'd be terrible. Whereas this one, as soon as you get new servers, you can just move them straight over.
That's nice.
Second is, especially for us, it's so easy to do hot backups and have everything saved on a very timely basis so you don't have a lot of downtime. It's all right there, live, ready to go. And third, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To mess around with.
Nice. Well, very cool. Zach, I appreciate you taking some time to interview with us and tell us a little bit about virtualization. I have to say this has been very enlightening for me. I definitely feel like I need to get my hands on some virtualization on the server side of things. Parallels really kind of whet my appetite for this whole virtualization thing, and I definitely enjoy it on my Mac, so I'm sure using it in a true IT manner, I would love it. So.
Oh, it makes the job a lot more fun.
Sure.
So, like I said, I'm a systems specialist, and I have a CEO who does not own a computer. As a result of that, it's very hard for us to get any kind of software out of this man. And needless to say, a lot of our software recently was not legal. And with the software audit, we had to buy a lot of software for a lot of money. So our first, total was $100,000, which he didn't like. So he said, I need you to get a lot of free software. So I went with OpenOffice, because it's the closest to office without actually getting it. So I went through 4 weeks of hell. People coming to me, I can't open this document. Why is this happening? This cell doesn't look right. The formatting's all wrong. Blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay. But here's the reason I went with it. Because if you get 150 people yelling at your boss saying nothing works, he's going to say, okay, I'll get the good software. So after 4 weeks of hell, we got Microsoft Office 2003. Yes!
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of Angry Admins. Feel free to check out the show notes for links to all the great stuff we talked about this week. We got a couple of ways you can interact with us, including our forums at angryadmins.com/forum and our email address at feedback@angryadmins.com. Thanks for joining us, and until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
I'm Joe Bibby.
And I'm Zachary Peachy. And remember, stay angry.